Hi, I'm Veronica Ariola, and my favorite thing is Title IX.
Welcome to the Finding Favorites podcast, where we explore your favorite things without using an algorithm. Here's your host, Leah Jones.
Hello and welcome to Finding Favorites. I'm your host, Leah Jones, and this is the podcast where we learn about people's favorite things without using an algorithm. We are back with Veronica Ariola, host of The Feminist Agenda. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm like, what? Huh?
I didn't know if I was going to, I should jump in and
you
be like,
you can jump in?
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great.
We are not on Zoom. We are in person.
We can like touch each other.
We can touch each other. Over the mountain, Everest Hill of Candy, that is part of Candy Chat Chicago, but we're doing Finding Favorites in person, live and in person.
Yes.
How is your summer going?
Fast.
Yeah.
I mean, tomorrow is August 1st.
Shut up.
Oh, shit. It's my mom's birthday. It's my daughter's birthday.
Oh, Leo season.
It is Leo season. And then Cinnamon's is on the next day.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the birthdays.
Wow. Yeah. And then she is back off to school.
Back off to school. That's right. Wow. Year two. Boom, boom.
How lucky that she got to go back in a post-vaccine world.
I know. Really.
Get to do college.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's enjoying it.
Yeah. So you're wearing your, I want to be like, you wore the shirt the last time too.
I didn't really?
Because I know I mispronounced it.
Oh.
Rapinoe.
Rapinoe.
Yep. I want to be like Megan Rapinoe when I grow up.
Yes.
So the last time you were here,
yes,
we were talking about women's salary and sports and the importance of going to sports.
Yes.
And how you helped start a movement in women's soccer that like concluded in a win this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're overstating it, but I did
contribute. I'm not overstating it. Didn't you help organize the first protest in front of the soccer?
I did.
Yes.
Yes. I did organize a protest in front of U.S. Soccer, which is headquartered here in Chicago in the South Loop.
Yeah. So I'm not overstating it when I say that you helped start the movement and now the women are being paid more like the professionals they are.
Yes.
Is it true parity with the men?
As far as I can tell, it's pretty much true parity.
Okay.
Yes. And even so much that the men now have equitable access to parental leave and some things like that. So they
it's
can bring their
like
babies.
Feminism is good for everyone.
When people
are treated equal, the men get some things that they haven't had access to before.
I thought feminism was just about women running the world and smashing men, but apparently men win too.
How interesting.
Mm. We'll have to investigate that.
Yeah. Wait, the men weren't allowed to bring their babies?
I think that they could, but I think that now they have some access to some more rights and services. So I'm sure the top tier guys could always bring their babies.
Right.
But maybe the guys who were rookies couldn't because they couldn't afford it.
Right. They couldn't afford it or they couldn't socially afford it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Amazing. And you also, we talked about the importance of season tickets and you have season tickets to the Chicago Sky this summer.
I do.
And I asked you about this and I was like, well, you're going to have to tell me on mic. So there's currently something called the Chairman's Cup. Literally just told me and I immediately forgot.
It's okay.
I called it the Commissioner's Cup. That was wrong.
No, it is the Commissioner's Cup. Yes, it is the Commissioner's Cup.
Okay.
So the Commissioner's Cup was this past Tuesday, the final. It was an in-season tournament where certain games were tagged as Commissioner Cup games. And then it turned out to be the Chicago Sky versus the Las Vegas Aces. And we got creamed.
What?
Yes.
Aren't the Chicago Sky the returning champs?
We are.
Yeah.
And we still have the number one record in the league. But something happened on Tuesday where we started the game off like 20-0. Yes, I know. I was just sitting there with my mask on, but also my hand over my hand, masked mouth. Like, what is going on? I've been going to Sky Games forever.
Right.
Since they started. And it's been a long time since I've been like, wow, we are getting our butt.
Just didn't show up.
It did not show up. Yeah. We tried really hard. We came within about 8 points in the third quarter, but Vegas just kept it. I mean, big
Amazing.
Tip of the hat because they wanted it. They came out.
Yeah. Commissioner's Cup. It's just like single game, right? So they're not in the middle of like a 5-game series or anything.
No, it was just a single game
tournament. And that you were saying we've borrowed from European soccer clubs.
Somebody else explained it to me that this is how European soccer runs, with all these smaller tournaments within.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans love it, and so do some of the players, but really everyone's eye is on the championship.
Right.
And so the championship for the WNBA is still a few weeks, months away.
Okay.
I don't know what the schedule is off the top of my head, but our regular season ends about mid-August.
Okay. And the Sky are...
Number one.
So losing the Commissioner's Cup doesn't knock them out of the finals.
Correct.
Okay.
It was... an ego bruise.
Yeah.
A lot to learn, especially since I'm pretty sure we'll see the Aces in the playoffs, if not the finals.
Yeah. That's interesting. So it'll give them, like, when they see them again in the finals,
yes.
It's going to give them a different energy to that playoff series.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were offered, we had some tickets left over at work on Tuesday, and we got an email, and I was trying to understand it, and I'm like, it doesn't seem like it's the finals. Is it just like, are we all getting bobbleheads of the commissioner? Like, I just couldn't quite figure it out.
The I think the best thing that came out of this is that the it really was very much about energy. I mean, I went and it was not sold out like it was at the finals last mm-hmm. year, but there was definitely an energy. Like, there is something on the line.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of money on the line for the players, because as we've talked before, mm-hmm. women's professional athletes do not get paid LeBron money. And so the winners of the cup, I believe, each got $40,000, which is a huge chunk of change for anybody, but especially even women athletes.
Right.
That's a big
change. And was that anyone on the winning team or anyone who touched the boards on the, like, if I just ride the bench.
If you just ride the bench, yeah. They
you were getting 40,000?
Yep, actually, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's that pay equity is why Brittany Griner is currently imprisoned in Russia.
Yes.
Is that she has had to go and play off season in European leagues for many years.
Yes.
And she was going for her off season job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And got arrested with a little bit of weed or a vape pen or something in her luggage.
Something like that, yes.
Yeah.
Some oils, yes. So she was in Russia going to her Russian team, her off-season team, her second job as a professional athlete.
Yeah. What team is she when she's... Please, she's not Chicago, is she?
No.
Okay.
She's Phoenix.
yeah. Well, hopefully this prisoner trade... It felt like people were saying, like, nobody's talking about this. And sometimes in those situations when nobody's talking about it, I think it's because my hopefulness, maybe my dumb optimism, is that, like, the right people are talking very quietly about it.
I was feeling the same way at mm-hmm. the very beginning, where it was very quiet. And it took a few weeks for us to find out that this is what was happening.
Right.
And I was like, okay, well, that means the people who are in the know are working very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
This is U.S. Russia. This is very delicate.
Yeah.
I've seen many movies in the 80s about this kind of tension.
Right.
And let's just keep our mouth shut. And then finally, the WNBA, her teammates, her wife was like, nope, we need to make noise because the administration's not doing what they thought they should be doing. And... yeah, so now there's this, I think, very hard trade on the table. I'm like, I'm very torn, this tension around this trade. But I also want Brittany home. So,
Yeah, it is, because she was arrested after, I think, the Ukraine war started.
Yeah, just about the same time.
Yeah, so it was not... I mean, this is not a
and now
Cold
we're going
War
into
Redux podcast. this is I'm going to start having people back over for Trivial Pursuit Genus Edition 1, which was like my Cold War edition.
Ah,
because it was published during the Cold War.
Yes.
So like the country, it's all USSR and it's all like.
Yes.
So we don't have to do like a Cold War Redux based on because it's neither of our specialties.
But, I mean, unless we're talking like as I said, 1980 movies about the Russians.
Yes.
And the Soviets.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's so weird. And how is your softball league going?
It's going pretty well. We were, last week was pretty rough because Monday we went into our game undefeated and got our butts completely crushed.
Oh, no.
Yes. The other team just was stacked with like 5 or 6 guys who could just crush the softball.
No.
And there was just no defense to that.
Were you like, hey, recreation league?
It is recreation
league. Go to the... I don't know what sports league the people who care about, the people who are athletic go to.
I think like the lakefront ones where everyone's just out of college and plays with that kind of spirit. Most of us are 30s, 40s. Yeah. Some of us are 50s.
Right.
Media journalists. So connected to that. And so it's very much a beer softball league.
Yeah.
And then this one team is just like stacked. Oh, no. Crushed it.
They're probably at whatever today's Groupon is. I'm like, what even is it? I don't even know enough anymore to like make the right joke. Like, what is, they probably all work at Spot Hero. I don't know. Google, I guess.
Google.
Google's always a good thing.
I don't know. So then Monday we got our butts kicked in softball, and then Tuesday this guy got their butts kicked in the game, and it was just like, wow, let's go to the next.
Yeah.
Next week, please.
Time for a nap.
Yes.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, you sent me a text and said, and asked if I was doing a special episode about Title IX, since everybody was doing special episodes about Title IX. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I am now.
You are now.
I'm doing one now. So we're here today to talk about your favorite law.
Yes.
Title IX.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I think is Title IX.
Okay.
It's why we have girls' sports in school.
Absolutely.
And that's... And then lately I've seen some stuff about sexual assault.
Yes.
Also in the same breath as Title IX.
Yes.
That's all I know.
That's all you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. It is true. But it is just a part of what Title IX is.
So how about let's start with a primer, mm-hmm. Like a short explanation of Title IX. And then we'll get into like why it's your favorite, how you learned about it, all this stuff. But like what is, if it's. It is, yes, girls' sports, and yes, sexual assault safety and stuff. But what is it really?
Title IX is a 1972 federal law that says, very simply, it's like 2 or 3 sentences long. It's really one of the most shortest laws out there that has done such impactful things. Just says that no one can be denied access to educational things and activities based on their sex.
Okay.
So it was written for girls to have access to educational opportunities.
Okay.
Because prior to Title IX, schools, particularly colleges and universities, could have gender quotas. Very much like I do believe Ruth Bader Ginsburg talked a lot about when she went to law school, there were slots for like 3 women, I believe, in her class. And like one of those slots could be for the Jewish women. So there were lots of quotas.
And that even the men were like, those 3 spots are taking away from us.
Yes.
It's 3 men that could have been here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so Title IX tried to put an end to it and did put an end to those kinds of quotas.
And this is... access is this like comma if you get federal funding?
Yes. Okay. If you get federal funding.
Okay.
And almost every school does get some sort of federal funding. So even the fact that your students get federal aid, student aid, puts you under the guise.
So if your students are getting Pell grants,
yes,
or student loans that are part of the,
yes,
right. Okay. So that's how it impacts, like, even a private school that's well endowed. Like, if they want to offer Pell Grants.
Yes.
Then they have to start offering it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I was listening to another podcast on Title IX, and the person I was listening to was talking about how there's this phrase and activities in the act, and that's the catch-all for everything else that has spewed from and grew from Timeline. So it was much more than just access to a classroom, access to schools, but and activities then covered sports, after school activities, and then was brought into safety around harassment and sexual assault.
Okay.
And then the Obama administration tried to and did broaden it to include transgender students. Mm-hmm. And then the next administration, which I won't name, pulled that away.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember my mom, you know, my sister and I did, we did basketball at the Y. I don't think either of us actually played basketball at school. But my mom was 6 feet tall and her brothers were taller than her. And she's like, well, I didn't play basketball because... And, like, she would just be like, well, because Title IX didn't exist yet. Mm-hmm. And, like, you have opportunities in high school because of Title IX. Yeah. So that's how I was aware that it impacted my life, was that we had girls basketball and track and tennis and all the things we had in high school that none of our moms had access to.
Yeah.
By the time, you know, when we got to high school in the 90s.
Right.
So... But then I think I did not realize that it impacted higher ed at all. I just thought it was public school K through 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it impacts higher ed, and it impacts not just students in higher ed and in high school, but staff, faculty, teachers.
Yeah.
And as well. So it's the whole institution.
How did you become aware of Title IX?
It's a good question. I've been trying to figure that out. And I think it had to have been somewhere around late middle school because I played sports all through elementary school. Mm-hmm. And my dad has three girls and he is huge into sports and he taught us all how to play.
Yeah.
And not just taught us how to play, but that we deserve to play.
Yeah.
We deserve to have space on a team, on the field. And I just ate that up. And so it didn't dawn on me that there was a law about it until about middle school.
Yeah.
When I think there was just something about our elementary school, you know, moving into middle school and this larger entity. And then when in eighth grade, when we started signing up for which sports we wanted to play in high school, my best friend and I were both really strong girls, and we were like, we should go out for football because we actually were pretty good at catching and throwing the ball. And the football coach laughed at us, and there was something I was like, I don't think you can do that,
right?
And I think that's when I was like, there must be something that is behind this,
right?
And so I'm sure me being curious and all about equity and fairness, and like, I know this can't be fair and right and legal, so let me figure this out.
Yeah. Because I remember there being, I think in every high school band era, there's like a story of like the one girl who's a kicker here or the one girl in the country of your age that gets onto a football team that like kind of makes the rounds and stuff. But it was... Because our dad made sure, like, we knew how to throw it, snap a tight spiral.
Absolutely.
It was a life skill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was knowing how to throw a football, like, knowing, like, the basics of, like, understanding the game, being able to, like, watch it from the stands. And I'm certain if I had decided I wanted to go out for football that my dad would have driven me there and fought the coaches. Mm-hmm. But instead, I did marching band.
Right. I mean, it's a choice.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
I was in color guard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But now that you're talking about that, it might have been the fact that there is a classic movie called Quarterback Princess starring the award-winning Helen Hunt.
Yes.
That I watched a lot as a kid. So probably around fifth, sixth grade. So that might have been formative to me being aware that there was some sort of law. I don't know if the movie, I'll have to watch it again to see if they actually talk about Title IX. But I'm pretty sure there was definitely a school board meeting about this girl who wants to be the quarterback.
Right. Absolutely.
Shout out to Helen Hunt.
And I also think there was, I was not aware of it at the time. This is me like having an aha moment as we're talking, which is like the, my girl sports coaches were men because the women of that age yet hadn't been allowed to compete in the sports. Like the, I assume now like your daughter had women coaches.
She did.
And probably also male coaches, but like, you know, we had one woman who taught in gym. I don't think she coached. No, I'm lying. I think she, maybe she did coach girls basketball, but a lot of girls sports were still coached by men. I think just because the teachers, like there weren't teachers in the system yet who had benefited from Title IX to get to coaching.
I don't know. I mean, when I played softball in high school, all of our coaches were women.
Okay.
And my daughter did have, she had a few women coaches, but mostly in rec league.
Okay.
Her club team did have a few women coaches. Yeah. And we pressed them as parents saying, our daughters deserve women coaches.
Right, right.
But in high school, she had all guys. Oh man,
I'm looking great. Around. I'm like, where is my high school yearbook? Oh, there it is. Okay.
I did look this up, and in 1972, 90% of women's sporting teams had women coaches.
Oh,
so there was women who were coaching.
Okay.
By 2019, that number has dropped to 43%. And mostly that is due to the rise of women's sports as in the prestige.
Oh.
So kind of like, you know, in a league of their own.
Right.
Tom Hanks is a character, you know, as a fall down drunk. And the only thing left of him is coaching the women's baseball team. And now it's prestigious to be.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. That's how far we've come.
Wow. You're
just slipping through your high school yearbook.
Yeah, I have.
But yeah, so it's a, I mean, women coaching women is a huge point of discussion in the Title IX circles because we used to have so many women. And there was definitely a time where men did have more experience to be quote better coaches. So like Bill Laimbeer, who we grew up watching kick around the Chicago Bulls and we would kick him around.
Yeah.
He has been one of the best WNBA coaches.
Yeah.
But then when he retired and Becky Hammon, who was a legendary WNBA player herself, is now their head coach in Vegas. So there is this tension and push to get more women to be coaches. So every time the Chicago Sky have a woman coach, I'm very happy. I mean, I love Coach Wade. He got us a championship.
Yeah. But now they have a woman.
But no, I mean, we have a guy.
You have a guy.
We have a guy right now.
So here's our women's, our Lady Braves.
Lady Braves.
They've changed the mascot. It's
a little, 90s.
Little less. It's they're still the Braves and the Patriots are the other school, but the Braves is at least now an arrowhead and not a headdress. It is slight improvements. So So here's Coach Larry Stuckey, Coach Alan Maraska. Who have we got here for coaches? Coach Stuckey. So like, and these women, they were girls. It was our girls team. It was high school. They were like going to state. Let's see. Do we have a picture of Coach Cheryl? So volleyball had a woman coaching. Wrestling didn't have any girls on it. Soccer was a huge team. Let's see. I think we had a girls team. Wait. Surely we did. Oh, yeah. This picture is the girls and boys teams together.
Combined. Oh,
that's which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Gymnastics had women coaches.
I'm now like copy editing this as I'm flipping through. So like track uses first initial last name. Other sports use first name last name. So I guess we had more women coaching than I was aware of. Okay. But we had like a husband and wife lead the marching band. The husband was the band director. The wife did the color guard.
Is it the same thing in my high school, junior or senior year?
Yeah.
Yeah. It really stepped up our band. Yes. Our marching band.
Okay, so and activities mm-hmm. is what got us to have the high school and middle school experiences we had, for your daughter to have even more opportunities.
Absolutely, yes.
And now you have worked at a college campus now for 20 years?
Almost 30 years.
Almost 30 years. That's impossible because we're still in our
20s. Well, I know.
For almost 30 years, and I can only imagine your awareness of the complexities of this short, it's two sentences, yeah. right? But it's like I feel like on college campuses, it'll get 60 pages of rules, right? Of
Absolutely.
Like how you deal with it.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's something people say, right? A Title IX complaint.
Yes. A Title IX complaint. Yeah. There are rules. There are, in terms of sports, there's a 3-prong test.
Okay.
In terms of how you can prove that you are adhering to Title IX.
Okay.
And I feel like in the 90s, there were a lot more Title IX issues in the news because a lot of high schools and colleges were taking away boys' sports, men's sports.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, it's because of Title IX. It's because of Title IX. That's because
that instead of expanding to women, they took away from the men.
Yes, exactly. So there's 3 ways that a school can say that they are adhering to Title IX.
Okay.
And one of them is proportionality.
Okay.
So if you have 50-50 men, women in your student population, that's what your sports should look like.
Okay.
And so if it's not, then some schools just, you know,
okay.
they cancel the wrestling team. They cancel lacrosse.
But it doesn't even say... It doesn't even say you have to have a girls football team. It just says like, so gymnastics can account for football.
Absolutely.
And right. Some sports, tennis, soccer, mm-hmm. track, basketball,
mm-hmm.
those can be boys and girls.
Yes.
Swimming, boys and girls.
Yes.
But some sports, like there's lots of boys who don't get to play volleyball.
That's right.
Which is weird. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It is very weird. I feel like we did have a boys volleyball team because I feel like I remember some of the guys who did play volleyball. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we had a boys volleyball team. But it was one of the few, I feel like. It was still like weird and we have a boys volleyball team. Yay.
But I think in a city like Chicago, at least you could field, you could probably come up with four to eight boys volleyball teams to at least like have someone, you know, couldn't do that where I'm from.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but the size of the team also matters.
Okay.
And so I was also looking, you know, like doing my homework to do this. And apparently up until 2019, girls' participation in high school still has not even surpassed 1972 boys' participation. So the number of boys who were playing sports in high school in 1972 is larger than the number of girls who play sports in 2019.
In high schools. Wow.
I know. So that's why I was going through looking at some of the data real quick and just looking at basketball. Like the average boys basketball team is 29 players and the girls are 21.
Okay.
So even though the numbers, if you look at them, they're fairly close. You could eyeball and be like, hey, it's almost 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But it's then you look and you're like, huh. It's almost 50-50 in terms of team.
Sure.
But the number of bodies actually doing the sport is larger. And yeah, maybe there's more bench players in the boys. Maybe a lot more boys actually never get in the game.
Right. Because
they still count.
Nephew's high school downstate is a small high school. And once you have proven to be an athletic boy, they're like, okay, so you'll be on all the sports, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You'll be on baseball and wrestling, mm-hmm. and they don't have swimming, they don't have lacrosse. It's like it's a baseball, basketball, wrestling, and football high school.
Okay.
And then the girls have softball, basketball. I don't have any nieces downstate, so I don't know what the girls' sports are. I know that my sister does a lot to try and do to support girls in baseball, because uh-huh. she was the league commissioner for her wow. park, for her like little league in town. Mm-hmm. She wound up being the commissioner.
Yeah,
and she always did a lot to promote the girls that wanted to do baseball. That she separated gender and sport. She like did these like subtle things to try and change the culture, like not assuming that every girl played softball.
Right.
And then helping when the girls baseball national organization was like coming through mm-hmm. Illinois, doing stuff to like let all the girls in her town know that if you want to go play baseball mm-hmm. this summer, here's how you do it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. The number of girls playing baseball. And not softball.
Right.
It continues to grow. It's yeah. not as fast as, you know, you would think. And I think it's because so many girls are just put into softball so early.
Right.
And when we were kids, there wasn't an organized softball. I don't remember. Girls who were interested in baseball played baseball.
Yeah.
We still weren't a lot of us. Yeah. But, and then it wasn't until, you know, like middle school, I think, then. We were like, oh, here's a softball.
Right. Yeah. It was a long time before I realized that softball had different techniques than baseball. Mm-hmm. I just thought it meant girls baseball.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right. So step one, parody.
Parody. Parody. So that's just the first thing. And then the other is just proving that you are moving towards more equity.
Okay.
It's just showing that you have a history of continuing to open up more opportunities. And then the other is demonstrating that everyone's interests are being fulfilled.
Okay.
So even if you have more men's sports than women's sports, but you've surveyed your student population and everyone's like, actually, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then you're okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be 50-50 if your population is 50-50, if everyone is
right.
cool with it.
Okay. So if you've got students and parents mm-hmm. calling in constantly being like, yeah. my daughter can't get, she wants to do XYZ and you don't offer right. anything.
Right.
Cause there is this whole, right, like travel ball, club gymnastics, whatever that club cheer and dance stuff is yeah. like there are a lot of ways to be very involved in sports
yes.
and athletics that mm-hmm. have nothing to do with your school
absolutely
in a way that is also I think different than we were
would oh be, yeah oh my gosh yes
yeah. yeah
I mean the three sport athlete is almost extinct
right
because student athletes are told to specialize and just get really really good and parents particularly are just really obsessed with their kid getting really, really good and then hopefully getting a college scholarship. And so few of them do.
Right.
That it's really hard.
Like, why do you want your 17-year-old getting Tommy John surgery?
Mm,
whatever that, it's an elbow surgery or wrist surgery. I know it's like, if you pitch too much, you end up getting Tommy John yes, surgery. And yes. the age on that has been dropping because kids don't play mm-hmm. multiple sports.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Like the best thing you can do for your pitcher is give them an off season.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
said the childless woman,
but it's true. I mean,
like
the number of girls who injured their ACLs or torn their ACLs right. in soccer is enormous.
Yeah.
And girls and women are prone to that injury.
Mm-hmm.
Something about our biology.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we can't play soccer. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, we need to figure out why so we can help prevent it.
Right.
And maybe that means not playing soccer 12 months of the year.
Right.
Mm.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, there are differences.
Right. Yeah.
But we just need to be aware and
yeah.
figure how to do that.
So when does Title IX, or I'm sorry, did we get through all the basic rules yet?
Yeah, those are the three things. Okay.
It's parity, you're moving towards equity, demonstrable movement.
Yes.
And nobody's complaining.
Right. Yeah.
And not because you scared them from complaining.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So there's different ways. Yeah. You don't have to kill the wrestling team.
Yeah.
Right. To be okay with Title IX.
What movie, what show is that? It's what, there's that girls' soccer team show where they like cannibalize each other and now they're
yes. Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets. I haven't watched it.
Oh my god.
That's what I know based on Twitter.
It's such a great show.
They have like a plane crash.
They do.
And they're
On their way to Nationals and they charter a private plane and it crashes in the mountains and chaos ensues.
Right. And so this is, it's, you know what, it's okay, two shows I haven't watched that both have been recommended to me. Yellow Jackets.
Yes.
And Girls Five Eva.
Oh, I have not seen that one, but I have heard good things about it.
But they sort of both hit this like Gen X women dealing with their teenage stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Because Girls Five Eva, they're the equivalent of the Backstreet Boys or NKOTB, but they're girls.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to do like a reunion tour or something. Mm-hmm. And then Yellow Jackets is a bunch of Gen X women finally trying to deal with the trauma of their plane crash and their Donner Pass situation.
Yes.
I don't even know if there's cannibalism, but I just, that there, is what I've decided.
There's big hints.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done with season, we're done with season one. We're waiting for season two to come out or even be filmed, I think. It's sorry if that's a spoiler, but there's a big assumption that there's been some cannibalism.
Okay.
And, but I've so far not seen anyone.
Yeah.
Rip right into somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, it is Lord of the Flies.
Ooh.
With teenage girls.
Nope. Amazing. I do need to watch it. I need to watch it. It's on my list. But right now I'm watching Deadwood.
Oh.
Okay. So those are the three rules.
Uh-huh.
Now, when does... does and activities also become the clause that then becomes how people, how does then this become the rule that protects people after a sexual assault or sexual harassment on campus or does not protect people? That's the wrong. Offers an avenue of
recourse.
Yes. I'm like, justice is also the wrong word because justice is rarely served. But like that says there shouldn't be, there should be a path forward of reporting within the school. Like, how does that end up in Title IX?
Right. So it becomes a school's responsibility to provide a safe space free of harassment and assault based on Title IX because, from what I understand, and listeners, please write in and correct me, but I think because the preponderance of harassment assault is gender-based, and then that gets put under Title IX.
Okay.
So Title IX has been the vehicle that you people have used to say the high school's responsible for allowing a harassment, sexual harassment to happen in the hallways, in the classroom, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah, I at some level, I knew both were Title IX, but I had never really truly grokked that they were both Title IX, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to do Title IX training at work every year. Yes.
Yeah.
Little animated videos online, slideshows. And
do they ever update them?
They do.
Okay.
They do. And there's a way to opt out if you think the training will be super triggering.
Okay.
And, you know, it is. I don't opt out, but it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to go through it so I know what's in it as well as an advocate. So. But yeah, I think that it's not so much the and activity. It's the fact that it's an educational setting and that harassment and sexual violence happens.
Yeah.
So much, it's so gendered.
Yeah.
And so then they put it under Title
IX. Okay. So this is, so, okay. And you asked if I would be having an episode about Title mm-hmm. IX because it's the 50th anniversary.
It is.
And not because it's been severely weakened by the Supreme Court in the last 6 months, right?
Right.
I was really like, what the fuck they do to Title IX? It's because it's the 50th anniversary.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And it's celebratory. And
yes.
Everyone's having specials and town halls.
Yeah.
And the other day I drove past City Hall and there was like banners up celebrating Title IX.
That's cool.
And there was a Sky game a few weeks ago. And afterwards there was a panel with Candace Parker and a few other people talking about Title IX.
Wow.
Including the mayor and Doug Bruno, who coaches DePaul's women's basketball team and has for years and has been like the poster child for men who support women's sports.
Okay.
And he sits front row at the Sky Games. Nice. And yeah.
Do they play him on with "We Don't Talk About Bruno"? He must be. I feel sorry for any Bruno out there. Because as soon as you said his name, I was like, "We don't talk about Bruno."
We should talk about this.
Yeah. So great. Doug Bruno coaches women's mm-hmm. basketball at DePaul.
Yeah.
But is also like a visible
accomplice
mm-hmm. in getting more girls and women involved in sports. Yeah,
absolutely. Great. In terms of raising its profile and everything like that.
Yeah. What do you think, either in your own experience or as a college administrator who's not speaking on behalf of their college, what do you think are like the biggest wins of Title IX? Like, what do you think when you look around a school make you say, yeah, it's working?
The wins, that I mean, just looking at the fact that in 1972, there were not very many women playing college mm-hmm. sports, and now there's a lot more women playing college sports.
Yeah.
In 1972, it was really hard to find a woman doctor, and now, you know, women are at least half, if not more, half of every medical school entry.
Oh, you're class. Watching like a very slow realization. We've been talking so much about sports, but this is women in professional services
mm-hmm.
who weren't being let into law school. You said law school at the very beginning, and I forgot. I had amnesia.
They weren't getting into law school, medical school, all these sorts of things. Back in like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Women took over the number of spots in veterinary schools.
Right.
And now it's really hard to find a man who is a veterinarian.
Right.
In almost all those spaces. There are some fields that flipped completely over.
Because once they started letting women go there.
Once they started letting women
go to school.
Yeah. So those are the big wins. And, you know, and I spent 12 years running a women in science engineering program, and that's the basis of all of that work,
right?
Is Title IX being able to making it. I mean, before Title IX, high schools can say, you know what, girls don't need calculus in high school, so you don't get to take calculus. But also, girls don't need shop class, so it's only for the boys, because only men go on to become mechanics.
When I wish I took video, because the look on my face is not good.
Or even boys being able to get into home ec classes in the 70s was a thing. So apparently feminism works for everybody,
mm-hmm.
all the genders.
Yeah.
And we're seeing what we see today is demonstrably different than what the world looked like in 1972 in terms of who's doing what kind of jobs.
Yeah. Of course, the challenge is that once women take over a profession, then it gets devalued.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. There is that phenomenon.
Right.
Still being studied.
Yeah. But yes.
Definitely the wages go down once women are
mm-hmm.
the majority of the professor.
Right.
The professional class.
But it's just because I think it's true, right? I'm 45. I'm 5 years younger than the act.
Yes.
So, you know, we grew up hearing women could become anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just young enough to have often encountered white women in professional roles.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say like women of color. I haven't right. always seen like, now when I go to Northwestern, like there are women of color, like in both like on both sides of the desk,
right.
of, like the nurses and the doctors mm-hmm. are women of color. But I will acknowledge that those are two different timelines.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does Title IX have any, it doesn't have any protection in it for race. It is strictly gender.
It is strictly gender.
Yeah.
Yes. And actually, technically, it's strictly sex. And so okay. a lot of the things that it's been used and pulled to protect, like sexual harassment,
mm-hmm.
And even transgender students
right.
under the Obama administration, was the administration and the law stretching sex to include gender without actually saying gender.
Ah, okay.
So, which actually brings us to some of the negative parts of what's happening yeah. in the conversation. With a lot of this activism to try and keep transgender student athletes
mm-hmm.
on their assigned at birth
right.
team, are the conservative folks saying, no, actually we're talking about sex in Title IX, not gender.
Okay.
And so you were born on your birth certificate, if there's an F, that means you need to play on the team for all of the females.
Uh-huh.
And not
with your gender.
Right. You're not with your gender. That sort of thing. Going into, so the conversation is moving into like, you know, debates on what is gender, what is sex,
right.
what do hormones mean?
Right.
And so things like
the hormone, you know, testing of like athletes now, and they're like, oh, she
has too much testosterone,
so she can't run.
Right. Exactly. And the big argument against that is usually Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
Like Michael Phelps is a freak of nature.
Yeah.
In all of the senses, like his wingspan is like mm-hmm. much larger than it should be on a standard size person,
right?
And there's something about like his body is just made for swimming.
Yeah,
it is made for swimming, testosterone, body, all of those sorts of things. But as soon as women's bodies start to show any sort of natural competitive
yeah.
edge,
yeah,
that actually ends up tipping into, I think, what people think, oh, then she's performing like a man,
mm-hmm.
then that's when they're policed.
Right.
But there's no policing on the elite men side.
Right.
Because they're just great athletes. Yeah,
right.
They're phenomenal.
Yeah. Because wasn't there, sometimes I just make things up, or I saw a TikTok on, it's not even I saw a tweet anymore, it's I saw a TikTok on. Okay. Tell me if this rings a bell.
Uh-huh.
That's things like running.
Yes.
Like marathons.
Yes.
Were not gendered races until the women started winning. Aren't there some sports that weren't gendered until the women started competing at a level, or it might have been bicycling or something, where once the women started beating the men,
mm-hmm.
then they made them gendered sports?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That's something that I'd have to look up.
Yeah.
But I do know in terms of running, women yeah. are closing the gap.
Right.
So because women weren't allowed to run marathons
right.
competitively for yeah. such a long time. But now the world record for men and women, the gap continues
to shrink. Yeah.
And so there is conversation that maybe one of these days,
okay.
some sports will need to abolish the gender
right.
rules.
Yeah.
Because elite athletes are just going to be the same.
Yeah.
Despite, you know, they're just the overlap is going to be so big that it's not going to make any sense to
yeah.
have a men and women's
yeah.
division.
Right.
When the numbers are the same.
Yeah. Or start figuring out ways to like set up locker rooms in ways that give all kids more privacy. And then whoever plays with whoever, if you're worried about what happens in the locker room, maybe give them all privacy.
Yeah.
I was listening to some podcast this week where I'm obviously still spending a lot of time alone. I'm like on TikTok, on Twitter, on this podcast, where I think it was How Did This Get Made? And Jason Mantzoukas is talking about taking showers in high school. Mm-hmm. And Paul and June, who grew up on Long Island, are like, what are you talking about? And he's like, we were forced to take showers after gym class. Like, mm-hmm. we were too. Like, you had to show that you got wet. Mm. So, like, even if you went in and just were like, boop, like, so you had to. And I understand at some level for, like, the protection of our classes, our teachers that came after us, like, our body odor and middle school body odor. But, like, you know, maybe there's a way to reimagine the locker room that gives all students more privacy, yeah. no matter what body they were born in.
Right.
So that they, I mean, that would just be better for everyone anyway.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. In high school, I feel like there was a rule that we were supposed to shower, but no one ever did.
Yeah.
And we did have, I think, like individual stalls with like little cartons that we have in gyms now.
Oh, we did not. Oh. We just had two kind of what you would see in like a 1980s comedy about high school or prison.
Yes. Yes.
With like two tall silver things uh-huh. in the middle.
Oh, yes.
With a lot of water, painfully high, uh-huh. painful high pressure nail like uh-huh. coming out of the middle. And you would just get in your towel and you'd walk up and you'd be like, I took a shower. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just like dip your shoulder yeah. in or your hair yeah. in or something. Nobody's taking a full shower.
Yeah, no. There's also no time.
No, there's absolutely no time. Absolutely not.
Especially in the 90s when you had to do your hair.
Right?
Yeah, how do you take a shower? You had to get those mall bangs. And the, yeah, mall bangs were not meant for post-gym showers.
Yeah. Mm-mm. What are some of the other challenges either Title IX is facing or ways that people are, is it mainly this way that they're twisting it to continue to discriminate against trans athletes?
That's the big thing right now is really
yeah.
finding a way, making a way for Title IX to protect trans athletes. Mm. And the fact that the only way we could do that in recent memory is through the Obama administration rewriting the rules, mm-hmm. which we quickly learned could be unwritten,
right?
Depending on the administration,
right.
So it will require an act of Congress or the Supreme Court,
yeah.
Which that's not going to happen anytime soon. So it's going to be really hard, and
yeah.
I think it will definitely be a fight for every state, every school yeah. district, which is really sad because it's just. One, it's inhumane.
Yeah.
And two, the number of trans athletes is really not yeah. that big.
Right.
And at the elementary high school level, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Right. You know? And again, it's not like Michael Phelps is going to suit up for the women's 400.
No.
And that's, yeah.
Yeah.
People are just fundamentally being ignorant about transgender rights
yeah.
and people.
Right. I want all kids to be able to play the sports they want to play.
I know.
It just shouldn't matter. And I want them to have coaches that aren't assholes that, mm-hmm. that understand that like
yeah.
sports for kids are important because learning how to be on a team is important. Mm-hmm. Learning how to follow directions, learning how to like all the things you learn as a student athlete.
Yes.
are important
yeah.
and not in how you're going to exercise as an adult, but like how you're going to be as an adult.
Right.
Absolutely. So like, let it be a positive place where they can decide who they're going to eat if a plane crashes.
Yes. That is definitely a big life skill.
Yeah.
And the other thing will then be watching pay equity. When it comes mm-hmm. to professional sports. And
right.
and this pay equity thing, what really moved me and had me in tears during the 2019 World Cup final when after the U.S. won in France, is that the crowd started shouting fair pay, equal pay in Paris.
Right.
In Paris. It wasn't in the U.S. It was in Paris on this global stage. The crowd started shouting that. That was the theme of the victory parade. And cynically, you could say that it was a fight for these elite women to get big checks. And most of the U.S. women team at the time were mostly white. It's definitely changed in the last couple of years. Yeah. And I think our next World Cup will be more representative of who actually plays soccer in this country. But it trickles down.
Right.
The younger girls are watching this. They're like, Alex Morgan says, I deserve what the boy playing soccer gets. And that goes to field conditions at your high school, your uniforms,
your weight room,
your weight
access
room,
access to your weight room,
who gets a bus to games. You know, a lot of my daughter's high school career had parents in Chicago public schools in one of the more elite high, one of the most elite high schools, resource high schools in the city. We still had to take time out of our work schedule to get out early to take these girls from the high school to their field because there weren't buses.
It's insane.
Right. And
I remember hearing about that at the end of this school year that there was a team that like got to state and then there wasn't a school bus made available for them.
Yes.
And they had to forfeit.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
It seems.
And so.
Bananas.
Right. Absolutely. So I am very optimistic.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen it in the way that some young girls see it and talk about it. And even just seeing it in my daughter, how she sees the fight for her heroes, her role models. They're fighting for what they're worth is showing her that it's.
Yeah.
You have to fight for yourself and everyone's worth. Deserves fair pay.
Yeah.
Equal pay.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So.
And guess what? Even if like professional soccer is an elite sport of elite women, and it can be yes and we should pay our teachers more, but guess what? If we're going to pay elite male athletes this amount, pay the women.
Yeah.
Insane amount. Let them make their gobs of money. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yes and.
Yes and.
We can have both.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, awesome.
You can.
Is there anything else about Title IX that I haven't asked you or that hasn't come up that you'd be sad if we closed without talking about?
I think you started off by talking about how why it's my favorite law. And I think it's one of my favorite because it's so short. It's so succinct. It's so to the point, and it has done so much to change this country.
Yeah.
And the world itself. Because you think about, like, in the 90s, Team USA with Women's Team USA was like winning everything and we were like crushing it. It was like the team I played in last week in softball.
Yeah.
Like just bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
It was like, guys, you need to find another league. Actually, you guys don't. Love you. but we were just crushing all the other teams.
Right.
And now we're starting to, now 30 years later, the rest of the world is starting to catch up.
Right.
And some teams have definitely caught up.
That's great.
And we're starting to see more parity. So what we have done in the United States, I wouldn't say started everything, but everyone else needed to play catch up and built up their teams. And you see fair pay fights going on in Australia and Brazil and Scandinavia. It's just everywhere.
Yeah.
And this really small law did that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Are there any more celebrations of Title IX coming up or speeches you think people should go and look on online about it?
Not that I can think of. I think that, you know, like Candace Parker has a documentary that I still have to see. There's a lot of podcasts. The one I was listening to was Julie Foudy's podcast. And she thinks she had like a 3-part podcast on Title IX. I mean, she was pivotal in women's soccer.
Yeah.
And its history and its trajectory. And I love her to death. And
all right.
Yeah. So there's a lot out there on the internets.
Great.
Look it up. Watch some videos. Listen to some podcasts. Go to a women's sporting event.
Yes.
They're super cheap.
And there's so many.
There's so many. And they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of families. And one of my favorite things is watching little boys cheering really, really loud for women athletes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Veronica, do you want people to follow you on the internet?
Sure. I am on the internet at Veronica I, E-Y-E, on Instagram, Twitter.
Fantastic. So
there you go.
Feminist Agenda is your podcast?
Yes. I'm on a little bit of a break because life is busy and it's a passion project. But yeah. I have a couple of episodes in the hopper. So hopefully
soon. And you've got an archive people can listen to.
Absolutely.
Listen to them.
That's right. Catch up.
Yeah.
While I catch up.
Awesome. Well, you can follow me. I'm at Chicago Leah on Twitter and TikTok, at Shy Leah on Instagram. I literally forgot. Please go on your podcast player of choice, Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Follow Finding Favorites, review at 5 stars. All the big podcasts say that it's important for them. So if it's important for the big people that get like Conan O'Brien money, it's important for me. I'm here yes. for review equity.
Yes, review equity. Review us all 5 stars, no matter what you think. Just yes. review us all 5 stars.
Yes, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Finding Favorites with Leah Jones. Please make sure to subscribe and drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Now, go out and enjoy your favorite things.